not the same thing. I'll recap a little bit. We're going to talk about the power of the blood, part two, I guess you call it. I didn't get to cover some of the stuff that I wanted to cover. I don't know if it's because I don't talk fast enough or what. I made the mistake of looking at my Facebook video, and it probably ain't so noticeable to you guys, but to me, I'm about as hick as a rock. I mean, the way I talk, but praise God, that's who I am. I told Lepers, I'm going to ask the Lord to give me a better speaking voice, but I am what I am by the grace of the Lord. Now, last month I was talking about the power of the blood. We try to preach, teach, or talk anything about God's Word without including the blood. It'll avail us nothing. I think where I left off, we was talking about, I talked about several things that a bloodless religion is a dead religion. If you think about other religions in the world, I know we don't study them, but we've all heard about them. The Christian, I don't like to call it religion, belief, true belief, is the only one that holds that someone died for us and shed blood. And that's because of the height of the love involved in it. All the other religions I've ever heard of, I mean, you can call whichever ones you want to, that have other gods beside Jehovah, there is not anybody that sheds blood for you. You're required to do certain things, certain rituals, all kinds of different things, but nobody died for you. And Jesus said, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. Now, Jesus said that. So we're not only the children of God through being born again through the blood, we're the friend of Jesus. He loves us. So, this morning I want to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ demands our unity in the church. I touched on it a little bit. I'm going to start off with it. I touched on it a little bit last month. I'm going to start on it this morning. And God willing, I'll get through it this morning. In John 17:21, Jesus was praying. And he asked God, and he prayed to God, that we be as one as he and God were one. And that did work, not just work out, that was the plan, and it did work, and it's going to work, and it is so. Everything, there's lots of things in this world that divides man and men from each other, men, women, and children, all kinds of organizations, all kinds of spirits, the world's full of it. Satan's got it set up that way. Number one, there's an old military phrase that says divide and conquer. Satan likes to operate in that. Well, of course, Christians operate completely the opposite. And we operate that way through the blood. We unite, and we will conquer. It's not a military strategy. It is a bona fide, guaranteed, the blood guarantees it, fact. Used to be in saying, I used it on April the other day, they're saying back in the 70s, that's a fact, Jack. That's a fact. It's going to happen. The blood unifies us. Denominations divide. The blood unifies us. Doctrines divide, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ unifies us, unites us together. Racial issues and other things in the world divide, but the blood will always unite born-again believers. Because whenever the blood is applied to your life, you become a new creature. You not only feel it, you want it. You yearn for it. You live for it. It's something that you eagerly want. You will live, and you make it your life's ambition to always go after the things of God because the blood's been applied to your life. How do I know that? Because I've been on both sides of the fence. Satan had conquered me in the idea that when I was a child, I thought I'd been born again and lived my life any way I wanted to live it. And I said, well, one day I'll come back around to it. That was the conscious thought in the back of my head. Then as I got older, the conscious thought became, and it was the Holy Spirit talking to me. God was trying to get me to see, if I would listen long enough, I didn't really have the blood in my life. I did not accept the gift that Jesus gave for me whenever I was a child. I didn't really understand it because there was no major change on the inside of me. I lived my life the way I wanted, and then I started thinking, well, I had this doubt. You know, what if? It just started creeping up on me. What if? What if I die? Am I going to go to heaven? Am I sure I'm born again? When you got the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your life, you don't have those what ifs. You have something to look forward to. We're going to talk a little bit about that. All of these issues divide mankind, ultimately leaving nothing in its wake but destruction. But the blood all unites us. And the blood was paid for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one and true church. The blood testifies to our relationship with the Lord Jesus. When we're all born again, we're all related through Jesus, through the blood. I like to call it spiritual DNA, but it's really even closer than that. I said it last month. If all the true born-again Christians, if we could all get all our carnality out, and which I believe we have achieved that at this church, this assembly, because we're able to do things that I've never seen done in a church before, all the times I went. I have seen them done at other churches. But whenever I was in church and trying to be involved in church, I never did see what we can accomplish here through the Lord. And the reason is because the blood is on our lives. That is what number one in our life. And I keep saying the blood, the blood, the blood. We all know what that means. We have seriously considered, and I talked about that last month, and taken into account the reverence and the specialness that Jesus did whenever he shed his blood for us because he loved us. I didn't know it was still here. There used to be a teaching out a long time ago. I'd heard some about it. That Jesus dying on the cross was God's plan B. That's not so. Jesus came into this world. He destined to come into this world to die for each and every one of us. It says it in Revelation 13:8. The phrase in there says, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Man, I read that last night. I got another revelation. I mean, I've seen it. I've read it. And it's talking about other things in there. And then that phrase is in there, in that scripture. When I read that scripture, I just got, I don't even know how to describe it. I was just so overcome with the goodness of God. And I said, Lord, you've been looking out for mankind ever since Eden. Satan's greatest fear, when we take the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and we apply it to our life, means we believe that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, that he came, and his only reason for coming was to save us from the separation of God and the dominion of sin in our lives and the curse of sin in this world, that we give Satan the power to bring on us to start with. So you see the irony of that? We give Satan the tool, our worst enemy, to fight us the rest of mankind's lifetime in this world, but yet God loved us so much, he gave us something to overcome all of that. That's awesome. And whenever we accept that the Lord Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, that he died, shed his blood on the cross for our sins, not for what he did, for what we did. And God took that, and he gave us something that can never be taken away once you accept it. You, every born-again Christian has control over that in your life. What you do with it is up to you. And I thank God that I listened and God planted me here because I got born again in this church. Raised in church, for years. But I got born again in 2014. So now, I have a gift that God has given me. And like we said, we sang, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. God gave it. Nobody can take it away. And once that comes into your life, it'll change you forever. No matter what you want, no matter what you think, no matter what you do, if you have the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on your life, that'll be all that matters to you. Well, it is, at least it is to me. And that's Scripture speaks to that. Satan's greatest fear is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he sees a person get born again, he goes, oh man, I can't have that one now. And all he's doing is going around waging war against the lost people to drag them into the eternal depths of hell. And before they get there in this life, make their life as much a hell as he can. And in the meantime, for the born again people, that led him, aggravate them to death the whole time they're alive on here on earth. The secret of unlimited power in a born-again Christian's life. In the preaching, the teaching, and praying the word is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the blood that makes the word of God powerful. Beth, would you put Romans 1:16 up there, please? When I was, I guess it's still there, when I was on Facebook, this, I ran across this and had another revelation. I put this on my, I don't know what, cover picture, whatever it is they call it. Because I say Revelation because I read that one day and the Lord brought it to me. Man, this is awesome. Read it so many times in my life, but now it has a special meaning. No matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, no matter who's around me, I'm not afraid to stand up and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew and also to the Greek. Now, yes, the Jewish people, was the promise was for them. But for the Scriptures be fulfilled that they would reject it, and God knew it. Jesus was not plan B. Jesus is plan A. As far as I'm concerned, God ain't got a plan B. God created Satan. God's not sitting in heaven saying, oh, Lord, I got to go over here and, you know, fight him. Somebody asked me one time, well, if God's so powerful, why doesn't he just destroy Satan and get rid of sin? And I said, because if he does, he's got to destroy everything that we know. The world, all of us, because mankind in Eden let himself be linked with Satan and become under the dominion of sin. Satan's smart. I ain't trying to say he's not. But we're smarter. If you have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you have the divine messaging between you and the Lord God in heaven, and he also has his word in print. You link all that together while making your faith stronger through the word. That makes that verse, if God is for me, who can be against me, come to life. You know what made it all work? The blood. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. And I'll get around to that later. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. It is the blood that makes the Word of God powerful. Beth, will you put Colossians chapter 2, 13, 15 up there? It is the blood that terrorizes Satan and every demon and evil spirit on earth and in hell. And it says, and you, being dead in your sins and an uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, talking about the Lord, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. That was the law in the past. That all it did was condemn us. It couldn't save us. That was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, I want you to look at that phrase, nailing it to his cross. If the blood did not happen, the cross would not have happened. If we couldn't have nailed all this to the cross, we could not have this. Else God's word would be null and void, and we know that's not going to happen. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Triumph is not just a word that means conquer. That means met, conquered, defeated. It's done and over with. Let's go to the next thing. Praise God. I read that last night. And I got me another. I said, praise the Lord. I mean, I know all this stuff in my head, but buddy, when it comes real in here, and I'm on, I got some other things come through. When you start putting all these scriptures together, whew, thank you, Lord. That's all I don't know what else to say except to serve the Lord my God with all my heart and my body and my soul and be thankful. Because we're going to see the other side of it is nothing. And what we're getting is all there is to get. And it is, I don't mean make that sound lightly. It is wonderful. It is splendor. You can't beat it. It is the blood that sets captives free of the bondage of sin and breaks the chains of oppression in their lives. Beth, you look, put Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 in there. This is also, I didn't write it down, you can also find this scripture in Isaiah, in the prophecy. But this is Jesus speaking this prophecy to the Pharisees and then tells them, this day have this prophecy been fulfilled in your ears. This is Jesus speaking. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, praise God, if that's not setting everything free that could hold a born-again Christian down and they become born again, then we don't have any hope. But praise God, we got hope. We got hope that we don't even have to wish for, because it's not a wish. It's a bona fide, guaranteed fact. And when you become born again and the blood of Jesus becomes in our lives, all of this becomes available, not only available, but as we seek God, it becomes real, because it is real. It is the blood that guarantees our salvation, conquers death, hell, and the grave. Beth, would you put up Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28? I used to have a little problem with this whenever I was younger, thinking I was born again. And the reason I had a problem is because I wasn't born again. I didn't know. But the reason I had a problem with it is, how in the world are we not scared of dying? You know why people are scared of dying? They don't know what's past that door. And that's all death is. It's a door for everybody, born again or lost. It's a door. You get rid of this body and you go into the spiritual world. And then that's where you spend eternity. And it says, for Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered to the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. You pass through that door of death. I wrote the wrong ones down. Is there any more to that? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. That is our hope, the second time he appears. Now, what I just read gives me an insight what's past that door. Jesus changed what's on the other side of that door for me with his blood. I believe it, I receive it, I accept it. Beth, you put up Revelation 1 and 18 now. But to make a long story short, I'm not scared of dying. Will I miss my family? In my mind, yes, I would. Well, I'd miss you guys, not being around you. But I'm going to a place, praise God, that I ain't got to worry about that. And y'all, if y'all are not there and I get there, look me up when you get there. I'm going to be there. And this is Jesus talking. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Before Jesus died, death was a fear to man, even those that live godly. He just held a fear for them. But the ones that stayed faithful and worshiped God, God knew what was coming. I'm not going to get into that. That's another pretty long message. I ain't got that kind of time. But study it. There was a place for them to be. It's not eternal torment and hell, as the Bible calls it. And Jesus described it. It is a fire that quencheth not. The worm dieth not. And to translate that means that it burns all the time. And it's hotter than anything mankind's ever known. But we see that it's the blood that guarantees our salvation. And Jesus has conquered the fear of death, hell, and the grave. The grave's not going to hold anything except what y'all looking at. And most of that's going to be gone. It's going to turn back what God created us out of. Dust, dirt, decay. Our spirit is going to be with the Lord. Depending on how you, me, having received the Lord and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again, depends on where we spend eternity on the other side of that door. Now, if you're lost and you hear the sound of my voice and you don't know that you're born again, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and we all should know it. Jesus said, the one thing that blood does is cover our sins, and it delivers us from the dominion of sin. We have forgiveness of sins. I got a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to say it anyway. When Jesus stands before the Father, and we stand before the Father, if you're lost and you don't have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on your life and in your heart, the wrath of God is going to come upon you. The wrath of God is to being cast into the lake of fire. When you have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your life and you're born again, Jesus steps up, and all God can see is Jesus. That's all he can see, the blood. And Jesus says, Father, they're covered by my blood. And then Jesus, as he says in the scripture, says, enter in my faithful servant. I'm going to enter in. I used to was scared of that because I didn't know if I was or not. That's where the fear comes from. If you have fear after you die, you don't know what's going to happen to you, I would suggest you get on your knees and have a long talk with the Lord. Seriously. It is the blood that brings healing. Beth, we put up 1 Peter 2:24, and I know we should all know this. I can't quote it, but I believe it because I know it. God said it. He's talking about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live into righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And that verse right there, we're set free from sin and we're healed. As we're taught, rightly so, by the Word of God, you have to believe it. If you believe it and you claim it, and you have the faith to stand on it, it happens. It will happen. It is the blood that breaks generational curses. A lot of people live in generational curses. They don't understand it. Even after I was born again, I had one working in my life, and I didn't understand it, and I asked God about it because I was going down some of the same steps that my dad did. It wasn't in the spirit world. It was in the natural world about finances and stuff. And I said, Lord, what's going on? I said, this is crazy. This is the same pattern I've seen my dad go through. I said, I love him. He was a good man. But he evidently made not so good of choices or something. I said, I don't want to do that. And the Lord showed me some stuff, and I'm working to break it. And I've been working to break it. And it's evident in my life because things are working in our life better than they ever have. Beth, would you put up Galatians 3:13, please? And I'm giving you all these scriptures because, well, just It's in God's Word. I can stand up here and talk all day long, and it's Monty talking. And I am nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. But whenever I use God's Word, I'm telling you what God said. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. I must have wrote that one down wrong. But anyway, no, that's it. It breaks generational curses. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, what does that mean? Well, it says the law. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law that was set forth, God's law. And the law said this, you do this or you're guilty. Plain and simple. And when you're guilty, you suffer the wrath of God. Well, without going into another long study, for the Israelites, God made a covering through animal sacrifice and the blood of the animal sacrifice. Now we have Jesus. Much better. Can't beat it. The blood of the very man that is linked to God himself delivered us from the curse of sin, the dominion of sin. Nothing. Your old song says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The second part of that verse I never understood whenever I was younger singing it in church. What can make me whole again? It's twofold. If you need healing, it'll make you whole. The second one, more importantly, is we're made whole back to God himself. We're restored relationship because we let Satan knock that relationship down in the Garden of Eden. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ brings that relationship back. And now we have that relationship made whole again to our Lord God in heaven. As I said before, because of the blood, I stand and I do not apologize. And I have no shame or no pride, but happily as a born-again Christian, I believe the Word, practice the Word, pray the Word, and receive the cross in Jesus' name. And when I receive the cross, I receive the price that Jesus paid for me. Now, I didn't realize until I got on the internet, there's another teaching out there that there's some... Now, this is the kind of stuff Satan's trying to do. There's a teaching out there that people are trying to cut hairs with words. Well, who all did Jesus come to save? Not everybody. I didn't even know that was out there. There's some people that's wanting to... like I don't even know why. It's Satan. It's what it is. Spirit, evil spirits, darkness. They're wanting to argue that Jesus only come to save the ones that believe. Now, if they believe, they're the ones that's going to get saved. Well, yeah, duh. But, you know, that does away with John 3:16, the first few words, if you believe that. I don't believe that. Jesus came and paid the price for all. The ones that receive it are the ones that receive it. That just, when I read that, and I'm talking about, there's not just one thing. I was looking up something on the internet, and I looked, and I found what I was looking for right under. It says, well, did Jesus really die for all? I said, Lord, I know it's not good for me to study stuff. It's not in your word, but I want to see what this says. So I clicked on it, and I read, I said, you got to be kidding me. Why? Why would you even argue that? To me, it's dumb. But all it is the way Satan works in this world to deceive people. Because if he can keep the blood out of a person's life, he's got half the battle won. When they die and go through that door of death, and there for them, the war is won against them. They'll spend eternity in torment in the lake of fire. And that's the reason you're scared of it. The blood gives us back our power and authority over Satan, over demonic spirits, over evil spirits. He gives us authority on everything. What did Jesus tell the disciples? The Father has given me power over all things in heaven and in earth. We are joint heirs with Christ. The Bible says so. I don't remember the scripture right now, but no, I don't need to do everything. I only got 45 minutes. So if we're joint heirs with Christ, we have that same power and authority. Now in our men's, I thank God for our men's meeting because it helps me as much as it helps anybody, if it helps anybody. God meant for the man to claim all this stuff, to keep this stuff strong in him, just like when a man in the natural world, the best thing he can do is save money, because if he's looking for a family, he's going to need a house. He's going to need a place for kids to stay and his wife to stay. Same thing spiritually. You get this stuff, you build it up inside you, you stay strong in it. And I hate to admit it, sometimes I'm a lot better than I used to be. Sometimes I'm not real strong. Or I didn't used to be. I'm getting better, and I'm getting to the point where it doesn't affect me. As Brother Scotty says, it doesn't move me. The last couple of things made me mad, but it didn't move me and shake my faith. We're supposed to keep, man, our faith strong because Satan is working to tear down the family. When he tears down the family, he's got half the battle won, born again, lost, or whatever. If you're born again and your family starts coming apart, you got to know what to do. You can't know what to do if the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ ain't on your life. Because when it is, this is what we do. The men's meeting, this morning is what we do. We stay strong in the power of the word of the Lord God, brought and furnished and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the only ones that can receive that are the born-again people. The poor lost folks. You know, sometimes lost people think that we think we're better than them. And I finally realized that, and it's not that I think that I'm better than them. I feel bad for them. The common phrase is that I feel sorry for them. I don't feel sorry. I feel bad because if they don't get the light, and they don't receive the cross and the blood in their life, they don't realize where they're headed. They're going to get hit with a train wreck at the end of their life. Now, God's not doing this off to the side, so, well, it's just their problem. No, he makes a way. God's not left us defenseless. We are armed with mighty weapons. I didn't give Beth these scriptures because we ought to know them. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I know several of us recognize that. Our pastor can quote it. I can't as much as I could. But he gives us the power to pull down strongholds. It says it. To take everything into captivity and conquer it that is not acknowledge God. To paraphrase it. He gives us that. The blood gives us that. In Ephesians 6:12-18, Paul uses the illustrations of soldiers, weaponry, and armor that God has, and compares it to the Word, what's in the Word to help us. I don't have the time to go there and read that. We all should know it. I know, I don't know it word for word to memorize it, but when I read it, I know it. And when I read it, it still has the same power. And I read it occasionally from time to time. It helps build me up. I know that God has given me the breastplate of righteousness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given me the shield of faith to fight. And he's given me the sword of the word of truth that will conquer. Not maybe, not what if, it will. I'm the one that's got to use it and put it into place. Each and every born again Christian has to do that. The blood redeems us from sin, the dominion of sin, the commission of sin, committing sin that we have done in the past, and the omission of not doing things that we need to do that God requires us to do in our lives as his children, born again or not. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:23 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Remission means taking away of sin. There's no other way of forgiveness. Forgiveness only comes by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says it right here on this thing in front of John 14:6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. Now, I'm going to paraphrase that a little bit. After we're born again, there is no way to conquer what comes to us except by Jesus Christ. His blood gives us that power. In Exodus chapter 12, we're going to go in the Old Testament for a minute. Y'all know the story of the death angel that God sent against Egypt and all in the land of Egypt against the firstborn. Now, he tells the children of Israel, if you'll go read that chapter and really like meditate on it, you'll find some things out. I found out. Yes, God told them to get a lamb and slaughter it and use the blood, but he also told them not to do it immediately. They were to keep it a certain amount of days, and they couldn't have their neighbors. It had to be one of theirs. You couldn't go, I ain't going, I need to go get my neighbors. No, it had to be yours. Belonged to your family. And then you had to take it out of the flock and bring it in close to your household for a certain amount of days. And I always wondered, wonder why the Lord did that. You know why the Lord did that? They got to know that lamb. They started getting attached to it. Now they got to kill it. And they got to use its blood to save them. They know that they got to. If they don't, they believe God. They know what's going to happen if they don't do it. They can't put rubies and diamonds and glitter and anything else across their doorpost. The only thing that's going to matter is the blood of that lamb. That's significant, ladies and gentlemen. God gave up the very thing that he loved because of the love he had for us. Just like the families gave up that lamb to save their families. God gave up the Lord Jesus Christ, so to speak. His blood paid for our lives. That's the reason it says in the Bible, we are not our own. We were paid for by a price. That doesn't mean that God is going to snatch us up and say, oh, new boy, you're going to do what I'm saying. No, God, don't do that. He leads us that if you won't, the things that I preach and that I say in my word, if you want forgiveness, accept the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want healing, accept the faith that you were healed. If you want prosperity, give and it shall be given unto you. If you want to know more about God, spend time with him. God kept his promise to the children of Israel. He says, I believe it's in verse 13, chapter 12, verse 13. He said, this blood shall be a token unto you that I will see and I will pass over. That's the reason they celebrate the Passover. Now, the wrath of God against the sin that was in our lives when we get born again, God passes over. You know the very one thing that God cannot do? Some people say God can do anything. He says in his word, once you accept the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and become born again, he no longer sees your sin, their past sin, and the dominion of sin in your life. He cannot see it. And he won't. All he sees is the blood. The shedding of blood makes all men equal before God, great and small. In our systems of this world, you have levels of people. You have the politicians. You have our president. We have celebrities. It's levels. And he comes on down, that's the way mankind is. The blood makes all of that even. When you get before the Lord God in heaven, only one thing matters. Do you have the blood in your life? Now, born-again folks and church folks call it several different things, but it means it. Calvary. That's the location outside of Jerusalem, the cross of Calvary, on the hill of Calvary where Jesus was crucified. There's some people that does not understand why Calvary is necessary in their lives to become born again. If you cannot understand the blood shed for each and every one of us, paid for our sins, and the what I mean by that is paid for the penalty of our sins, because with God, the penalty of sin is His wrath and judgment, and that is death. Jesus took all of that for every person, past, present, future. He wiped out the virus of sin for all that those who would believe. Now, everybody's got your Bibles. Before I run out of time, I want you to turn to John 3:16. I'm going to, because when I was studying last night, I said, man, I know that verse right and left. Yes, I do. I learned it, as a matter of fact, as one of the verses I won a Bible with when I was in Bible school whenever I was a child. But there's a really terrible thing in that verse. Now, of course, we know that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he's explaining to him why Calvary is going to be necessary for him to receive the promise. And he says to him, for God so loved the world. We love that. Yes, He loved us. That's awesome. That's not bad. And it says that He gave His only begotten Son, meaning that it was the only Son He had that was born into this world. He loved us that much. That's awesome. We all glory in that and praise that. Now the next verse. I mean the next part. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. I'm afraid sometimes as born again Christians we skip by that. And then it says, but have everlasting life. Perish is a strong word. Perish means that the wrath of God and judgment of God comes upon those that are guilty. Who's guilty? Everybody. Because the sin entered into the world in the Garden of Eden. Without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we perish. And you say, well, you just said a while ago that the door of the death is nothing but a door for everybody, that we have a place to live in eternity. That's right. But I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you live without God, you're going to probably wish you were dead. But when you go through that door, supernaturally, you're going to turn into another being, born again or lost. And if you don't have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, at that point, it's too late. You will perish. But those that are born again will go to be with God, and they will live life, everlasting, forever. God has some wonderful stuff that I really do not have time. I'm about to run out of time. But we're going to be clothed in white. White in the Bible is a sign of pureness. We're going to walk on streets of gold made by the greatest architect that there ever was. We're going to judge nations. You know what that tells me? If you read in Revelation 21, John said, behold, I saw a new Jerusalem coming out of the sky, and he describes it. Now, this is what I believe. What do you think the born-again folks are going to do? The church, the bride. That's what we're called, the bride. The born-again is the bride, the church that Jesus presents to God, because He paid for it. We're going to get to enjoy, and we're going to get to live in all that splendor with pure peace. No darkness, no sin, no tears, no bad feelings. It's all going to be peace and love and joy. Tony Evans said something one time that made a lot of sense to me. He said, peace is not meaning that you don't have problems. Peace means problems don't have you. You can't have that without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once you're born again, you can't have that peace maintained in your life without knowing where you come from, how to use what you got, and how to stand with what you got to stand with. And it is all paid for with the blood. And we're seeing right here, excuse me, I didn't mean to do that. What happens if you don't have it? You perish. So everything you can think of in your mind, and our mind being finite, means that we've got a limit to our imagination, even though we can imagine some mighty things. God's stuff for us is going to surpass that. Everything you can think of that's really bad that we have been described to us in the Bible and we can imagine to perish is going to be much worse than that. Lots, lots worse. More than we can ever imagine. I'm going to say it again. I, Monty Hall, am free from the curse of sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have unlimited power and authority through the Lord Jesus Christ to fight every demon, every curse, Satan himself, and everything that comes against me in Jesus' name. And it's all paid for by the blood on the cross of Calvary. That's why we have to have the blood. And without it, we literally have nothing. And that's why God's plan hinges on it. I say hinges because, lack of a better word, that's the way he set it up, to be a better way to put it. That's all I got this morning. Anybody got anything that they would like to say or add?